Last week we started a new sermon series on unlikely heroes. Names in the Bible that you don't often hear, but who have made a significant impact nonetheless. Joseph Parker. He was an author and a theologian. He lived in the 19th century. He was a preacher on the level of Charles Spurgeon and Alexander McLaren. In one of his sermons, he told an illustration or a story about a small pocket watch. See, one day this small gold pocket watch found itself traveling across the Westminster Bridge in London. The time was around the noon hour. And at high noon, there came a loud sound as Big Ben tolled out the hour. Looking up, the small pocket watch saw the large clock on the Parliament buildings. And he said to him in a disgusted tone, "I do not like you. Your face is too broad, your hands are too big, and your voice is too coarse and loud. I do not like you." The big clock, hearing these comments, called down to the small gold pocket watch and said, "Come up here, little one. Come up here." And so the little one accepted the invitation. He began his journey to the top of the tower. It toiled painfully up the tall stone steps and at last stood beside the big clock. Looking out over the surging millions of London citizens, the big clock said to the watch, "Little one, there is a man down there on Westminster Bridge who wishes to know the hour. Will you tell him, please?" The little watch replied, "Oh, I could never make him hear. My voice is too small. It would never carry to him in such a whirlwind of noise such as this." The big clock replied, "Oh, yes, little one, I had forgotten. Yet the man wishes to know the time. He requires to know, and you cannot tell him. However, I can, and I will. So let us not criticize one another. You will not find fault with me, and I will not find fault with you. Instead, you for your master, and I for this great city, each of us will teach men everywhere to redeem the time." No two of us, as you know, are created the same. Each of us has been given different gifts and abilities. In an area where you are strong, I may be weak, and vice versa. It is with this in mind that we look at our next unlikely hero. This hero can be found in the book of Exodus. If you're familiar with the story, the people of Israel had become slaves in Egypt. God raised up a leader in Moses to bring the people out of slavery and into the land that he had promised them. During their time in the wilderness, as they were journeying to this promised land, God made a covenant, a contract, an agreement with them that if they followed his commands, that he would remain with them and that he would bless them. He spelled out to them what this relationship would look like and the proper way that they were to relate with him. God instructed them on how they were to establish priests as mediators between himself and them. He instructed them on the sacrifices they were to make and the different ways that they were to worship him. He laid out for them everything that they needed to know and do. Part of his instructions were the details about how to construct the tabernacle. The tabernacle was essentially their church. It was a spectacular tent that was to house the Ark of the Covenant, as well as to be the dwelling place for God. It was to be ornamented with gold and silver, as well as fancy gems and stones and embroidery. It was to be the biggest and best that they had to offer. It was quite a work of art that took great skill and great craftsmanship. And this brings us to Exodus chapter 35, starting in verse 30. And our weeks unlikely. Here, if you have your Bibles, I encourage you to open with me to Exodus chapter 35, starting with verse 30. If you didn't bring your Bibles, we have some in every row. I encourage you to follow along, or I'll have the words up on the screen as well. Exodus chapter 35, starting with verse 30. Then Moses told the people of Israel, "The Lord has specifically chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, grandson of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. The Lord has filled Bezalel with the Spirit of God, giving him great wisdom, ability, and expertise in all kinds of crafts. He is a master craftsman, expert in working with gold, silver, and bronze. He is skilled in engraving and mounting gemstones and in carving wood. He is a master at every craft. And the Lord has given both him and Oholiab, son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, the ability to teach their skills to others. The Lord has given them special skills as engravers, designers, embroiderers in blue, purple, and scarlet thread on fine linen cloth and weavers. They excel as craftsmen and as designers." Again, it should be noted that Israel had just come out of slavery. They had just been slaves in the land of Egypt, a land that worshipped many other gods, that excelled in idol worship. As such, there would have been high demand for somebody that could sculpt and carve and engrave in gold and wood and whatever it may be. The skills that this man had were in high demand in the land that he had just come from. However, Israel had been taken out of that. They had been taken out of that land so that they could worship the one true God. The God that is so majestic and so infinite that he forbid any images or idols be made for him. As an infinite being, any image of him would by necessity limit his majesty. Therefore, craftsmen that had previously made lucrative livings crafting idols were now in a place where their services were no longer required. The company was moving in a different direction, and that direction did not include them. In a conversation this week, I was reminiscing about my life in the church. I began attending church when I was about to enter the third grade. And from that time on, I went to Sunday school. We had Wednesday night caravans, and I regularly heard about how God gives each and every one of us gifts and abilities that we are to use for Him. As I grew up, I wondered what God had for me, what gifts and abilities He was giving to me. It was not long in my high school years that I began to take a liking to computers. I found that I was good with computers. I liked working on them, and I was able to do things with computers that some people would consider magic. Not long after I graduated high school, God began to call me into the ministry as a pastor. At first, I was excited to go. I mean, who wouldn't want to follow God where He called you to go? But as I began to prepare, I began to be afraid. I feared that this calling wasn't right for me. I mean, I was a computer guy. I loved working with computers, yet every pastor that I knew was computer illiterate at best. Even those that knew something about computers, they were so busy with ministry stuff that it was nothing more than a hobby. I began to pull away from that calling. I didn't feel that I was particularly gifted in preaching. And if becoming a pastor meant that I would have to give up the one thing that I was good at, well, then certainly God wasn't calling me to that. So I went on my own way. I earned a degree in computer science, and I found a job that I loved doing computer programming. However, God's call to minister as a pastor never went away. Every time I turned around, He was calling me yet again. I wrestled with this Because I was afraid. I was afraid that God would take away from me everything that I loved in order to put me into a ministry that I wasn't even good at. Years later, I was finally able to open up about this to my pastor and tell him about this calling on my life and the fears that I had in following it. And in that conversation, he reassured me that God would not give me a gift or ability if he didn't plan for me to use it for him. He told me that our job is not to understand every step along the path, but to follow God and trust that he would use us to serve his purpose as he intended. With my fears alleviated, I began to follow God's calling on my life. And along that journey, I began to see how God used everything that I had learned, every gift that he had given me, the skills and abilities to serve him. Likewise, I watched as he developed in me the gifts that I needed in order to serve in the capacity that he had called me to. I can imagine that this is how Bezalel felt. And he had used his skills and his crafts in Egypt for years. He was able to craft beautiful idols that many Egyptians used in worship. It would have been easy for him to say, no, this is where I'm talented. This is where God's going to use me. Rather than venturing forth into a realm in which it seemed that his talents would be wasted. Like each of us, God had a plan for Bezalel. God had given him these gifts and these abilities, and he had a plan for them. However, it required that Bezalel place his trust in God and follow him, to be willing to go where God was leading. You see, when God called the people to construct the tabernacle, as it says in Exodus 35 earlier on, all those who were willing brought their offerings of gold and silver, as well as their skills and their labor. Much like in my life and in Bezalel's, God isn't going to force us to use our skills and abilities to serve him. Instead, when we surrender to his plan, when we allow him to guide us, when we follow what he has, he will give us opportunities to use the skills that he has given us. He will give us opportunities to use them for his glory, to develop them for his glory. Likewise, when we submit to God's plan for our lives, he will equip us to do his work. Moses said, "The Lord has specifically chosen Bezalel and has filled Bezalel with the Spirit of God, giving him great wisdom, ability, and expertise in all kinds of crafts." Now, I'm sure that Bezalel was a skilled craftsman before, but God specifically gave him the wisdom and the ability to perform in the way that God had planned for him. When he accepted what God had, when he said, "I will follow God and do what he says," God equipped him to do so. And I can attest to this in my own life. As I said, one of my hesitations in ministry was my lack of skill in preaching, and some will say that I'm still not really very good at it. However, since following God's plan for my life, he has filled me with his Spirit and has given me great wisdom and ability in communicating his word to his people more than I ever could have on my own. So what does this mean for you? Obviously, God hasn't called each and every person to stand before crowds and to preach. But as with Bezalel, God's plan for you will use the gifts and the skills that he has already given you. It may be in craftsmanship. It may be in encouragement. It may be a number of different things. But whatever it is, God has already laid the groundwork for you to do great things for him. Likewise, if God is calling you into some area of ministry that maybe you're not comfortable with, that maybe you don't feel particularly skilled in, trust him. Trust him and follow him, because if he has called you to do something, he will equip you to do that very thing. Trust him and follow him, and he will make sure that you have everything you need to do everything he has told you to do. Over the past week, this idea has been brought to my mind repeatedly. As certain key figures in the church have felt that it's time to step down from their respective ministries. You see, our church has been growing recently. Maybe you haven't noticed it being in the middle of it, but in June of 2015, our average attendance was 33. And just a couple weeks ago at Easter, we had 62 people here in this church. Half of those were children. I've had multiple people come to me and ask, what are we going to do with all these people? What ministries will we provide to teach these teens? What are we going to do with all these kids? I mean, the truth is, right now we don't have a ton. We have some ministries and activities, but those that are leading these ministries are getting burned out. They've been doing it for years. I mean, we only have teen group twice a month. And we have nothing for children on Wednesday nights. So people are coming to me asking, what is the possibility of new ministries being started? What is the possibility that we can minister to these people? To all these different age groups that God is giving to us. And to that question, my answer is, that depends. For the past few years, we have been functioning as a small church with few ministries. Lately, more and more members have expressed interest in becoming more like a bigger church. We want to have overnight teen activities. We want to have Wednesday night activities for kids. We want to be able to minister to the people that God has brought to us. However, that's all going to depend on you. If we are going to act like a bigger church, if we're going to minister to larger groups of people, we are going to need people like Bezalel who are willing to use the gifts and abilities that God has given them to accomplish the purpose that he has planned. Finally, along with all the skills and the talent and wisdom that God had given to Bezalel, God also gave him the ability to teach. It's a common saying that those who can do and those who can't teach. However, this couldn't be farther from the truth. You cannot teach something unless you already know it. And while it's possible to pass on book learning to somebody else, the best teachers are those who have learned through experience. In Bible college, I had many great professors. Most of them had doctorates in their respective fields, and they had a lot of good knowledge and information to give. However, there was one professor in particular that had the most impact on my life as a pastor, and that was Dr. Jim Russum. Jim Russum served as a pastor within the Nazarene denomination for decades upon decades. As he recounted his ministry in class, he told us that from the beginning, God had directed him to difficult churches. Churches that had run off all the previous pastors would be the ones that he'd feel God leading him to. He went through things that no pastor should ever have to go through in those churches. And when he was finished And the church was growing. When he had gone through all the difficult stuff and he had brought that church around, God would call him to someplace else. About the time he was getting ready to experience the fruits of his labor, God would call him to another church that was more difficult, that paid less, that he wasn't sure how he was going to do it, but he trusted God and he went. He told us as a class that during those nights when he would come home physically ill from a particularly difficult board meeting, he would question why God kept calling him to these difficult tasks, why God kept calling him through these difficult churches. He said it wasn't until he later became a professor that he really understood. See, all of these other professors, they could teach the book work and the theology, and they had some experiences. But there's only so much that you can teach. There is so much more to being a pastor than being able to quote scripture. Through the skills and the experiences that God had given him, he was uniquely qualified to teach a whole new generation of pastors. See, I truly believe that God has a task for each and every one of you. You may feel that your time is up, that there's nothing that you have to offer. But God has given you skills and abilities and talents that he intends for you to use for his glory. If you follow God's leading, he will use the gifts that he's given you, and he will develop whatever gifts that you need in order to serve him, to do what he has called you to do. Likewise, young or old, just like Bezalel, God has equipped you to pass on the skills and the knowledge that he has given you. He has equipped you to pass that on to the next generation. But none of that's going to happen if you're not first willing to trust him. To trust him and to use your gifts for his purposes. You can't be content with allowing somebody else to fill that role or position. You can't be content with letting someone else take on the responsibility that God has given to you. God has equipped people and called people to do all sorts of different things. He has called and equipped people to manage money, to fill cracks in the sidewalk, to paint walls or buildings. God has called people and equip them to work in the nursery, to teach Sunday school classes, to play instruments, to mow the grass. If none of that fits you, I'm sure God has given you skills and abilities and experiences that he has only given to you. You are uniquely qualified to teach others your particular skill set. That's not just for the old people. Each one of us can take what we've learned, the experiences that we have, and we can pass that on to the next generation. We can pass it on to the teens. We can pass it on to the kids. We can pass it on to other adults, maybe even older ones. You are uniquely qualified to mentor somebody, somewhere, to pass on your skills and experiences to the next generation. Bezalel was called upon by God, and he was willing to use his gifts and his abilities as an act of worship. Through his willingness, through his commitment to follow God, God gave him wisdom. He gave him skills. He gave him abilities to do the work that was required of him. The skills that he had, he enhanced. The skills that he didn't have yet, he gave to him. But it requires that you follow. It requires that you trust. It requires that you Do something. Bezalel was willing to step up. He was willing to do what God wanted. Will you likewise step up and be willing to be used by God? Let us pray. Lord Jesus, Lord, may we each be like Bezalel. May we be willing to use the gifts and the talents that you've given us to worship you. Be it yard work or teaching or managing finances or property, Lord, may we step up. May we follow the plan that you have for us. May we not be content to pass off what you've given us onto somebody else. Lord, you are trustworthy. You have told us that you will equip us. For anything that you have given us to do, Lord, you will make sure that we have every tool we need to do it. If we first trust you, if we are willing to follow. So, Lord, may we be willing. May we be willing to step up. May we be willing to follow you through whatever. May we not be content to just sit and let everyone else do the work, but Lord, use us. Equip us. Lord, allow us to worship you through what we do, through our service to you. Lord, if we don't know what that is, if we don't know where you're calling us or where you've gifted us, Lord, I pray that you make that known. Over this next week, I pray that you open our eyes and you weigh on our hearts and let us know what you have, how you would have us to serve you, in whatever capacity that may be. Lord, may we be willing and may we be used. In your name we pray. Amen.